It's a joy this morning to introduce the Reed family. It's easier to get introduced if you all get to stand up at once, right? Instead of one at a time. So come on, stand up here with me. Especially for teenagers. This is the newest employee of the church. Colin, he's a drummer. I know Tiana and Mo are going to want to talk to him after church. He's a seventh grader, and if we buy him a drum set, he'll come every Sunday and play. I'm not sure that I offered him a contract, but I'm pretty close. Denise is going to preach this morning. Okay, did that word scare you?
No.
Okay, good. She's going to share the story of their lives for the last almost 6 years since Grant's diagnosis. And this is Grant. He's a junior now really doing well in school, as I understand it. And this is Troy, the proud dad who has stayed strong and faithful and steady through all of this. Yeah. And we know about them through Sharon Urschel and her grandson Garrett, who's sitting next to her, and his family. Garrett goes to school with Grant, and when he heard that a classmate was ailing, he wanted to get as many people praying as possible, right? So he told his grandmother. I just got that mixed up, didn't I? So he told his grandma, who's a prayer warrior, and she engaged all of us through our electronic prayer chain. I'm going to do a little commercial just now for that electronic prayer chain. If you aren't on the prayer chain, give your email address to Connie Stuckert. She's sitting up here in the front row in the green sweater, and she'll put you on the prayer chain. If you have a prayer concern, even if you don't have email, you can call Connie with that prayer concern, and it'll go to, 75, 80 people almost immediately. You can leave it on her answering machine or wait to talk to her in person. We are so delighted to have all of you with us today. Troy, it's been a joy chatting with you by email. Grant, we're so glad to see you doing so well. Denise, you're on.
I'm on? All right.
Yes, you are. And just a word, I will not be greeting you at the door today. The Reed family will, so make sure you welcome them. I will be greeting you at the cookie table.
All right, good morning. Can everybody hear okay? Make sure that's good. I just first want to start with saying what a delight it is to be here today. We often don't think about our story being anything special. When you're in the middle of a story and you're living something out in life, it's just what you do. And it's not until we hear back from people and those who've been around us, and many times those who we never even knew. We heard names, we didn't even know what the face to the name was, but we hear back from them and they tell us, you know what you've been putting out there, or what we've heard about Grant, or what we've heard about your family, this is how it helped us. So as I share just a few of our stories today, and hopefully, or what my hope and prayer is that it'll help you see that everything that you do impacts somebody else. And if we just keep our heads up and stay diligent in faith, we can impact those around us. So hopefully a few of the things we share today, you'll see that, and it'll only help all of us go out and do a better job in that. So let me start very briefly with our story. And our story is all about when our son Grant, who's sitting here today, when he was 12 years old, back in May of 2012, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Many people in the country came to know him as the kid that named his cancer Michigan. And I'm sorry if you're a Michigan fan. We are not. We're an Ohio State family. We kind of graduated from there. So anyhow, he named it Michigan. And when that happened, nobody knew about it except for us and our medical care team. But it was a way for him to grasp it and wrap his head around it and say, I have to figure out how I'm going to fight this. I don't want to talk about cancer. So it starts then. It was quite harrowing. And I'm going to share a few things about that first time through when he had surgery. And it was a long surgery. And after surgery, he had weeks of rehab because he couldn't talk and he couldn't walk and he couldn't eat. Many things happened because of that brain tumor. But as you can see today, he can talk and walk and eat. So we know that there is always hope as you go through these things. Fast forward, he goes through a rough year of radiation and chemotherapy. Clean bill of health, all is well. We get routine MRIs, and I'm sure many of you have gone through, unfortunately, cancer diagnoses, and you know there's routine follow-up. So as part of that routine follow-up, in December of 2014, literally just a few days before Christmas, we went to get an MRI. And as the doctors came in, they looked at us and they said, we saw something again. And here he has a brain tumor in a different part of his head, on a different part of his brain. That was a crazy Christmas. It was one that was filled with a lot of conflict for us. Conflict of why in the world is this happening again? But there's always a reason. He goes through another big brain surgery, long brain surgery, and he goes through some chemo like I hope nobody ever has to endure. It was awful. He can attest to that. It was rough. And then we find out there's a treatment that's available for us, but nowhere in Ohio. And so we pick up our family and we move to Texas for the entire summer in 2015. And we lived down there, and I'll talk a little bit about some of our fantastic experiences of faith that we had there, even when we were far away from our home and our community. But what I want you to keep in mind today, a few of the things that we're going to share is that the end result is that Grant today is good to go. He may not ever grow hair again because of all the treatments, but he's no longer going through any treatments. He doesn't have cancer. And a lot of why this has happened is because of the things, people like you in this congregation. So that's his story in a nutshell. But I think maybe I was brought here today not to preach. I'm not a preacher, but thanks for giving me such accolades. But to just tell a little bit of our story and just a couple of examples of faith that we've gotten to experience as we went through this path. And I think our first experience, when he first gets diagnosed as parents, you're numb, you don't know what to do, and you just go into overdrive, and you just start saying, all right, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Where are we going to find doctors? And it's crazy. And you didn't have time to digest what was going on. And so it was just a few days after he got diagnosed, we're getting ready for surgery. It's coming up on the next day. And some friends of ours, who work with my husband on the fire department, he's a pastor, and we're very close with him and his family, and he contacts us, and he says, we're praying, like, seriously, we're praying. You tell everybody, noon, the day before surgery, we're praying, and this whole group of people show up in Grant's hospital room, and a few minutes before noon, and they said, all right, we got to get ready. And we're looking at them, we're like, okay, yeah, you know, we believe in prayer. And they go, no, seriously, we have to be ready to pray at exactly noon. Because our entire congregation, people around the country at noon are praying for Grant Reed today. And we have to be ready to go. I remember Grant's nurse that day, her name was Nala. She comes walking in, and Link looks at her and he goes, do you want to pray with us? And she's like, of course I want to pray. So she joins our prayer circle. And we pray at noon. And I think, I mean, I can't speak for Troy, and he nominated me to speak, so I'm going to speak for him anyways. And that day, when we prayed at that moment, I know that we talk in church about feeling the Spirit and that you feel things happening, but honest to God, I mean, we felt it. There were so many people praying at noon, at that exact hour, specifically for Grant Reed, that we felt it. And I remember we had the prayer, and we were so grateful, and afterwards we're laughing and we're talking. And later in the day, as everybody goes out and we have family time to get ready before the next morning, which was going to be a little bit chaotic, our nurse Nala comes in, and she was getting ready to finish up her shift. And she looks at us and she goes, I just have to tell you guys something. And we're just like, oh yeah, okay. She goes, I have never experienced a feeling like that in all of my years of working. She goes, I don't know who you people are, what small town you came out of. She goes, but when we prayed in the room that day, I felt something. And she goes, I know everything's going to be okay. And she signed off, and she was out for the day. That was one of our first experiences in this journey where we're like, we got it. All right, God's telling us something. The next day, a little bit more lighthearted example, he had a really long surgery. I mean, like to the tune of 16 and a half hours. We were the first ones in the waiting room, and we were the last ones out a little after 1 o'clock in the morning. During that day, we had family and friends and so many people coming to support us. But as we're sitting there and you're trying to be lighthearted and you're trying to just have faith, we also were hearing so many fantastic things of people saying how they were praying for us. We're getting text messages on our phones of our friends saying, hey, we're praying for Grant. We're praying for him all day. We know he's going to make this. People are sending messages, you know, across the computer, across all of our social media sites saying, we're praying for you. And we're just like, yes, thank you. Keep praying, keep praying. We got to get him through this surgery. Even at points in time, I remember my husband, he was on, I think, Facebook or something. He goes, you're never going to believe this. And we're all sitting around eating or whatever. And he goes, you're never going to believe who's praying. And we're like, what? And he goes, there's a bunch of nuns in California that just sent that they're praying for Grant. So what did we do, all of our family? Because we like to laugh when we're very stressed. We all started laughing. We're like, if God doesn't listen to them, there's no hope. Because we figure that's a direct line, you know, directly up to him. We were so grateful for all those nuns sending to us, we're praying for Grant Reed today. They don't know Grant. They don't know our family. They just heard there was a need through various prayer chains that everybody was sending out, and they lifted him up. And we really felt the impact of that on that particular day, which was a really difficult day for us, because as everybody had left and we're the last ones in the waiting room, and they finally come in a little after 1 a.m. and they say, he's done. We're taking him to a hospital room. We'll take you there in a little bit. So Troy gets on all the social media sites because he's our social media wizard. And he puts in there, he goes, I'm going to go ahead and just send a message out. So when everybody gets up in the morning, they know Grant made it through surgery. He puts a message on, you know, thanking everybody for their prayers and saying, Grant's done. We're good to go. And when you know, within a minute, people start responding back. It's 1:15 or 1:30, something like that in the morning. And they're responding back, and they're like, we've been waiting up to hear, and we've been praying. I mean, what kind of friends do that? Those are amazing friends. Those are friends in faith. Many of these people we did not know personally, but yet they were praying and staying up until they heard Grant made it through surgery. That's the power of prayer, and that's the power of God, and we felt it that day. But it wasn't always easy. And it took some really good friends of ours who are pastors. And we got a lot of pastor friends as I was thinking about this. It took a good friend of ours who's also a pastor. And, you know, as you go through it, you're angry. You know, when you have a diagnosis like this and you're stressed and you're angry. And we were, I mean, I'm not going to say Troy and I weren't angry. We were. You know, we asked the question, why Grant, why us, why this family, why do kids have to get cancer? I mean, there's a million why questions. And as we're asking those questions, it just made us more and more mad. Like, why do we have to be the ones to go through this? Why were we the chosen ones? We didn't want to do this. We didn't want our son to go through this. And one of our friends, Karen, who's a pastor, I remember she was in visiting with us, and she looked at me at one point, and she goes, Denise, I want you to know something. She goes, I know you pray, and I know you have faith. She goes, but I want you to know it's okay to be mad at God. And I'm like, are we really allowed to be mad at God? I mean, you don't really think about being angry at God. And she goes, he already knows you are, so you might as well just fess it up and tell him that you are. And I'm like, oh, that's really true, yes. And, you know, but it took her blatantly telling me to my face, it's okay to be angry with God, but you got to move on. And I remember after that discussion, as I thought about it over the next few days, there was a point in time, and I mean, it sounds so juvenile, but we had to, like, you know, clean up. We were living in a hospital, went over to clean up a little bit, and I was mad. And I thought about what Karen had told me. And I sat in that Ronald McDonald House room, and I was all by myself because Troy was over with Grant. We always took turns. And I sat in there, and man, did I let him have it. I said a lot of things to God, and they were not kind. And I got it all off my chest, and I told him exactly what I thought about what we were going through. And then I reminded him, hey, a pastor told me to do this, so don't get too mad at me. But as part of that, I'm sure he was okay with it. As part of that, though, you know, as you're throwing that anger out there and you're just yelling and you're screaming and you just, it's very animal-like and you just let it out, But by the end of it, I felt like it's okay, because that was finally the time, after a number of weeks, this was weeks into, after Grant had been diagnosed, I finally said, I'm turning it over to you. I should have done that in week one. We learn from our mistakes. You think that you do, but you don't until you have that moment. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I never gave this to you. I was trying to handle it myself, and I shouldn't have. I should have just turned it over to you at the very beginning. I will say that in my life, that's one of the first times that I really felt it. All these times, I grew up in church, and you do this. But I really turned it over to him, and I said, you're in control. I'm done. You just tell us what we got to do. And I know Troy has shared with me that he had a similar experience after we heard that we were allowed to be angry with God. And we both turned it over. And at that point in time, even though we had a lot of hardships, even though there were still many rough roads for us to travel, what we knew is that it's okay. It's God's plan. It's God's plan. You know what? We may not like it, but it's what he gave to us. So what are we going to do with it? He must want us to do something with this. And when we turned it over to him, it made such a difference in our lives. So it really helps. So I'm going to tell you, I'm not a pastor, but I believe it is okay to be angry with God as long as you ask for forgiveness afterwards. Now, I will tell you one other story that really stuck out to me of faith was when Grant got diagnosed the second time. I think we were a little bit more prepared in faith that time. We were a little bit more ready to go. We kind of knew what we needed to do. We knew to turn it over to God a lot earlier, but it's still difficult. And so after Grant got that diagnosis, before you get brain surgery, you have to go do an MRI. They call it a mapping MRI. So it's a really long MRI where they literally map his brain like a grid, because it tells the doctors exactly where they're going to do the surgery at. How are they going to cut on that fragile brain? So it's a really long MRI. And as Troy and I are sitting there waiting for this long MRI to get done, and we know surgery is going to be just in about a week or so after that, so we're getting all ready, we're like, man, how are we going to prepare? And I remembered that we had gotten this book. And I brought the book today, but the story of the book itself is kind of cool. And before I tell you what I found in here that helped me out personally through that second time, I want to tell you how we got the book. We got this book because we made a trip to Disney. Grant had been diagnosed with cancer. He had already had brain surgery. He'd gone through rehab. But before he got diagnosed with cancer, we booked a trip to Disney for Thanksgiving in 2012. Our medical team said, you're going. We're going to make it happen. We'll time his chemo treatments around it. So long story short, we did go to Disney. It was a little crazy. We had some fun. Even though Grant was going through treatments, we had hospitals set up down there if we needed things. Everything was taken care of for us. But on that trip down, on the flight down, we had a family sitting behind us on the airplane. And we talked to them from time to time because they had a couple of kids, and they kicked our seats, and they're like, we're so sorry. We're like, it's okay. We have kids too. We know. It's not a big deal. We're not upset about it. So it started us talking a little bit. As we sat on the plane and talked on just that couple of hour flight to go down to Florida, we find out that this individual is a pastor in a large church outside of the Chicago area. And they as well were taking their family down to Disney to celebrate a little bit over Thanksgiving. So we talked to them a little bit. He gives us lots of encouragement, and he was asking us about Grant, because Grant didn't have a lot of hair, so it was a little obvious that he was going through some treatments. Well, when we went and we got off the plane, he walks up to us and he hands us this book. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I was studying for my sermon on Sunday out of this book, finding some new passages. He goes, but I just feel like I have to give it to you. And he hands it to us. And I'm, you know, you're kind. I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, that's so nice. And thanks for thinking of us. And honestly, I didn't think much of it, though. I mean, it was very kind. But we just kind of packed it away. It went in all of the stuff of things that we were getting from people. And when Grant got diagnosed the second time, I was like, man, I remember that book, this pastor. So I'm digging through our bins of things and saying, where's that book at? And I find this book, and I pull it out. And when I open up and I look in the front, I see that he wrote us a message. I should have paid closer attention to this before. Because it says, dear parents, I believe God has provided everything you need, including a miracle for your son. This guy doesn't know us. He met us on a flight going to Florida. And he writes this in the front of a book, not even knowing our names. And he says, I know there's a miracle for your son. So as we're sitting in that MRI, I'm like, I'm going to see what's in this book. It's really cool. He has a lot of notes in here. I know you can't see it, but it's underlined and starred, and he was getting all ready for his sermon. And I'm like, I wonder if there's something in there for us. And as I was going through and I'm reading the book, I found one that spoke to me, I guess mostly as a mom. And I'm going to share a little bit about what's in here. It paraphrases some of what's in the Bible. But this is a passage that comes out of 2 Kings chapter 4. And I don't know if you're familiar with it. I'll be honest, I didn't remember the story, and I've grown up in church. But it's about a Shunammite woman, and she has a story of faith. She wants a son, and she was barren. And so she had asked a prophet, Elijah, to be able to have a son. And she was granted that. And she had a son. And as she had that son, he was doing well. But as the story goes in 2 Kings, he's out working in the fields with his father, and he falls ill and he dies. And here's what it says after that from 2 Kings. It says, "And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." So she lays her son down, who's dead. She says, I must go see that prophet. Her husband, that was back in the days where they had to give him permission. We don't do that anymore. But she asked for permission, and her husband said, yes, I will send you back to Elijah the prophet. And she goes, to Elijah the prophet. And right before she goes, it says in 2 Kings, she says to her husband, it shall be well. And then she goes off, and she goes to Elijah. And when she gets to Elijah's house, and she talks to the servant, she eventually gets through to Elijah, because Elijah remembered this was the woman who he had granted the wish, so to speak, although they're not called wishes, the miracle of having a child. He said, I'll speak with you. And when she looked at him, she told him about what had happened, and she just looked at him and she said, it is well. And what that means in that passage is, it is well, is that she was not willing to say that her son was dead. Instead, she only believed in life. She only believed in life for her son. And actually, as the story finishes out, you can read it sometime in 2 Kings chapter 4. Elijah does go. Elijah goes and sees him and raises him from the dead, just as we celebrated last week with Jesus Christ. So Elijah raises her son, and her son lives a very long and prosperous life. All because his mother was willing to say, it is well, and she wasn't willing to accept death ever being something within the family and for her son. And when I read that, it was purposeful to us, because in our family, we believed death was never an option. You know, kids should not have to think about dying, and you don't like to think about that, but he had to. And we believed that whatever God sent our way, it was going to be. And so the Shunammite woman, I remember her all the time. If I'm having a bad day, I pray to God, let me be like the Shunammite. Let me be like her. Let me believe it is well. And then sometimes I sing that nice hymn, that it is well. It's a good song because I like that music. So I guess what to leave you with today, I know we can't talk too awfully long, and I could tell you so many different stories, but I want you to know that everything that you do when you pray, when you send letters and cards, we've gotten so many cards from this congregation. We know, we read them all. I have them all saved. That it matters. It's not always about giving large sums of money to a fundraiser. It's not always about having to even be there in person. It's more about what you can do in the spirit. And if you pray for people, it works. I mean, Grant's alive. I'm sure you've seen miracles. Don't close your eyes to the small miracles that happen to us every single day. You just have to open your eyes to see them. You know, and I'm happy that I think we are a little bit more responsive to it today, because we were forced to, not because we wanted to be forced down that path, but because we've learned that that's what needed to happen. So keep your eyes open for all those little miracles. Know that our family has greatly appreciated all of your prayers, and that we truly believe that there is power in prayer, and that it really does heal. There are miracles that happen every day because of prayer. And it's those prayers that tell God, hey, we got to do this. And God's like, it's all right, I already knew I was going to do it, but I just wanted to make you guys have some faith. in me for doing it. So thanks for letting us come today. We'll look forward to talking to y'all later as you guys get ready to go. And just thanks again. Please keep praying for everybody around you. It certainly makes a difference.
It is okay to get mad at God. Because when you're already mad at God, you might as well tell him.
That's right.
And the reason it's okay is that God loves you just the way you are, mm-hmm. even angry. But God loves you too much to leave you there. Mm-hmm. And if you don't tell God you're mad, you get stuck there, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I have one more thing to tell you. You did preach. There's only one task of preaching. The task of preaching is to comfort the afflicted. Did she do that? But the other part of preaching is to afflict the comfortable. So if you haven't told God you're mad, you ought to be squirming and ready to do it. If you haven't claimed life in the face of death, you ought to be squirming. That's what it means to afflict the comfortable, to make them squirm. But also, the job is to comfort the afflicted. And a story of hope in the face of death brings us hope. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for preaching to us. Let's sing. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.